Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This Lent season, we've considered baptism by answering the fundamental questions of our catechism. What is baptism? What benefits does baptism give? How can water do such great things? And what does such baptizing with water indicate? Here, at the end of our series, we'll take up a topic that is important, especially where we live, because churches are divided on the question of whether babies should be baptized or not. Lutherans, Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, and perhaps a couple other smaller confessions have their babies baptized. The great many churches, however, that originated in Great Britain, such as Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Episcopalians, as well as others such as Evangelicals, the Hutterites, the Amish, and many others, do not baptize their babies at all, or they mean something different when they do baptize. If they baptize, they say it is a mere sign, or a kind of a dedication or initiation into the community. It is not seen as the bestowal of forgiveness, life, and salvation. So first, before we really get into it, let me say a little something about controversies in general. Whenever an article of faith becomes controversial, Christians talk and write about it, as you would expect. By God's grace, this can open up new understanding. It can also reveal those who are not genuine Christians so that they can be marked and avoided. Controversies can be good, therefore, by increasing knowledge and understanding on the one hand and by purifying the church of false teaching on the other. However, controversies can also have many negative effects. This is why the Apostle Paul warns Christians to avoid useless controversies. Controversies can draw out many evils from the old Adam: pride, anger, triumphalism, party spirit, and so on. Plus, as the controversy goes on, every Tom, Dick, and Harry writes a book about it, so that the material to be learned grows more and more. It can get to the point where there's so much stuff that has been said that where everybody wants to put their own little twist on it that we might just want to give up. This is an understandable reaction, but it's not a good one. Remember what I've told you several times before. God's revelation to us is clear and simple. He says things like, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Go baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Baptism saves you. It's not God's truth that's complicated. The devil's lies are complicated. He always basically says what he said at the beginning. Did God really say? Then when the lies are complicated and sophisticated, it does indeed take a lot of effort to get things straight again. Think of a ball of yarn. Originally, it is wound in such a way where it comes off simply and easily, but if someone comes and makes hay with it so that it gets all tangled, then it can be quite a task to sort out that stuff again. Of course, it's easier to just chuck the whole skein of yarn and buy a new one. The devil would like us to do that with God's revelation, too. It's just too complicated. We can't get to the bottom of it. Might as well chuck it. And inevitably, you end up with some other creed, though. And that means you end up with other beliefs and other gods. With infant baptism, we are dealing with something that has been tangled over the last 500 years. There is a lot, therefore, that we could talk about. We certainly won't deal with even a tiny fraction of the stuff that has been written about it. But what I would like to try to do tonight is to apply the most fundamental teachings of the Bible, the most fundamental thoughts of being a Christian. And the argument goes like this. Baptism saves. Babies need to be saved. Therefore, babies should be baptized. Let me say that again. Baptism saves. Babies need to be saved. Therefore, babies should be baptized. I do not intend to spend much time on the first part of the argument that baptism saves. We've been looking at that really for the last 4 weeks. I hope it's clear to you that baptism is not just plain water, but it is a washing of rebirth and renewal in the Holy Spirit. I hope that you're convinced by the Apostle Peter when he says that baptism saves, just like Noah's Ark saved. Let's spend more time on the second part of the argument that babies need to be saved. A lot of folks have a hard time with this. Babies are cute. They don't seem to have a lot of calculating power and capacity for evil like adults do. We don't hold them responsible for the things that they do, and rightly so. There's plenty of time later on for instruction and discipline. And since we don't hold them responsible for their actions, it doesn't seem like God should hold them responsible either. But we shouldn't come at these things with our own feelings and assumptions. We, like in all things, should understand our life according to God's Word. And God's Word tells us that Adam and Eve fell into sin, and that changed them and all their descendants. They became sold under sin. All people were born with what we call the old Adam, and that's what we inherit from him, just like we might inherit our nose or our eye color or hair color from our parents. David says in the psalm that we recited tonight, "I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." All people are born under the power of the devil until they are born again as children of God through baptism. God's Word also tells us God's law. It is by the keeping of God's law that a person is righteous. It is by the breaking of God's law that we know that we are sinners. Let's take the summary of the law and apply it to children. Jesus summarized the law when he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Does an infant, even with its limited capacities, love the Lord its God with its whole being? Does an infant love others? What I found with our baby is that she was pretty clever at getting what she wanted, even if it meant that mom had to be woken up in the middle of the night. But it can be kind of hard to tell this kind of thing with a baby, since its ability to communicate isn't very sophisticated yet. How about with toddlers? Do they love the Lord their God with their whole being? Do they love others as themselves? I'm sure we're all aware of the common reaction that a toddler might have to baby sister or baby brother showing up. They've been known to try to shove the baby off of mom's lap. So since little children are declared by God's Word to be sinners, and since little children have not and cannot keep God's law, it is obvious that they are sinners who need to be saved. Baptism saves. Babies need to be saved. Therefore, babies should be baptized. This is a solid, fundamental, spiritual truth where I can't see how it can be denied. It's as fundamental and solid, spiritually speaking, as many needs have to be met, physically speaking. We could do similar arguments in the physical realm. Food nourishes. Babies need to be nourished. Therefore, babies should be fed. Clothes provide warmth. Babies need to be kept warm. Therefore, babies should be clothed. We do not need to wait for babies to say please or thank you. If they could talk, they probably would. They might very well say, "Pardon me, sorry to bother you, but could you provide me with a spot of milk?" So also, spiritually speaking, having been informed by God's word about their condition, they might very well confess that they were born in sin, born in bondage to Satan with all his works and with all his ways, but they would like to believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to be made into children of God. Put yourself in the baby's shoes. When you are hungry, don't you want to be fed? When you're cold, don't you want to be made warm? When you're burdened with sin, don't you want to be forgiven? Don't you want to know that God has made you his beloved child and promised you his Holy Spirit? Why would you deny that then to a child? What would you say of someone who didn't feed or clothe their child? Aren't they abusing that child? So isn't it spiritual child abuse to deny eternal salvation to them by withholding the gift of baptism? I know that claim upsets people. Maybe we'd all like to pretend that this is no big deal. It makes our lives easier that way, in a sense, but perhaps the accusation hurts because it's the accusation that's true that cuts the deepest. Of course, I understand that people do not do this intentionally. A person would have to be the devil himself to knowingly withhold baptism, knowing that it gives salvation to someone who needs to be saved. People don't baptize their children because they don't believe or they've been taught falsely. But in that case, then, it's our responsibility to help them see clearly. Again, wouldn't we do this with physical needs? If some poor soul thought that a baby didn't need milk, wouldn't we tell them otherwise? We aren't playing games here. This isn't a hobby. Without being born again, no one can see the kingdom of God for the very simple reason that they don't belong there, and they wouldn't even be happy there. According to our first birth, our birth from Adam, we belong with the devil. But God, in his mercy, planned for our salvation before the foundation of the world. He intended to redeem us by his holy, precious, innocent suffering and death of his only Son. He intended that we should receive this and be made his disciples by being baptized, according to Jesus' own word at the end of Matthew's Gospel. Nowhere, not in a single solitary passage, does God say that we should not baptize babies. If anything, the opposite is very strongly implied. You heard tonight how Jesus became angry, something that happens only a couple times in the Gospels. When the disciples were trying to keep the kids away, he rebuked them sharply. "Let the little children come unto me," he says, "for of such is the kingdom of God." Jesus says, "Baptize all nations." Surely babies are part of nations, aren't they? In our first reading, Peter's great sermon at Pentecost, he tells the Jews that this salvation is for them and for their children. And after he was done preaching the gospel, 3,000 of them were baptized. Baptized into Christ. The basis for baptizing infants is not just one obscure passage in a hidden book somewhere. It's front and center and at the heart of the Christian gospel. Babies are human beings, just like us. The same logic that applies to us also applies to them. Their hope of salvation is the same as ours. They, together with us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, believes that baptism saves. They know that they need to be saved, just as they, in some way, know that they need food and clothing. Therefore, they thank God that they were baptized, even in their own secret, childlike way that God only knows. As Jesus says, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, the Lord has ordained praise. And if someone hasn't been baptized, then let us sing baptism's praises. Do not mothers sometimes do this with some new food or clothing that they've come across? They talk to other moms about why it's so good. Let's do the same thing with baptism, which meets our great spiritual need. Baptism saves. Babies need to be saved. Therefore, babies should be baptized. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.